You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It's time to get up with Cowboy Crunch Time. Mighty Micah Parsons putting the D back in Dallas and feeling confident. Is it enough to topple Kyler's Cardinals on Sunday? Aaron Rodgers speaks about his future, but what is he really saying? We decode that beautiful mystery and why it may not take long to get solved. And it took Michigan a long time to get into the college football playoff. Why one guy could make it worth the wait. And welcome to Get Up, presented by DraftKings. I'm Ryan Smith, in for Mike Greenberg. A lot of football to get to today, and who better to tackle it than our expert, Bart Scott, Diana Russini, here with me in the studio.
Did you just call me an expert?
You're an expert. You're here, aren't you? Lewis Riddick, Damian Woody joining us as well. So let's get right to it with a make or break week coming up in the NFL. And here it is, week 17, days away, and the playoff implications are everywhere in Cincinnati. The Chiefs can clinch the one seed in the AFC with a win and a Titans loss, while the Bengals can win the AFC North with a win. Now, the Colts host the Raiders, and with a win, they will have consecutive playoff appearances for the first time since 2012 to 2014. A Raiders loss drops them to an 8% chance to make the playoffs per FPI. And the Cowboys host the Cardinals, both of whom are already in the postseason. Now, Dallas would have a 26% chance with the one seed with a win. And Micah Parsons, take me on a trip to the safari.
The cheetah is the fastest animal, but, I mean, a lion doesn't just go by himself. It's a lot of lions and lionesses. So, I mean, if you got a pack of lions, then I like the lion over the cheetah any day of the week.
Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. He's a lion, he's a what?
What was he, Jasmine Sullivan?
All right, guys, let's get into this Cowboy D. You know what? You can talk like that when you're playing as well as he is and this Cowboy D is. So, Lewis, I start with you. Do the Cowboys need to beat the Cardinals to prove that those issues they had recently are fixed?
I think they need to beat the Cardinals simply because they need to be playing well going into the postseason, Ryan. And I think right now they're returning to full strength. And when we saw them in the beginning part of the season, in the first quarter of the season, when we saw them on Monday Night Football, I thought, look, this football team, if they can just stay healthy, they have just about every answer that you're looking for when it comes to teams that can match up with just about anybody once the postseason would roll around. The running game is starting to go again. Zeke looks healthy. The offensive line is rounding into shape again. Tyron Smith is coming back. The passing game, Dak has all the weapons. He has all of the wide receivers out on the perimeter again. So if they want to take away the run game, we'll go ahead and put it in the air. Defensively, where they weren't healthy at the beginning of the year and they didn't have everybody and were still playing pretty good football, now they are just terrorizing people up front, in particular with DeMarcus Lawrence, Randy Gregory, and Micah Parsons. And Trayvon Diggs has just continued to take the ball away. So you tell me, like, how exactly it is that this team is not equipped to go ahead and make a significant playoff run. The only thing that would derail them is some kind of, like, unforeseen underperformance on the part of all these stars that they have. Or let's just say good players that they have. Or if COVID were to somehow invade their football facility, which we just don't know how that's going to look.
Yeah, that's the unknown for every team out there. And by the way, sneaky big news, Tyron Smith could be coming back this weekend. That could be big. Yeah. Diana, what are you seeing with this team?
Well, Lewis said it so eloquently. He basically was just touching on the fact that every part of this team now is playing at a really high level. And that's what makes the Cowboys so good, is they're not just dependent on one thing. Come the playoffs, if you're just dependent on one thing, you're not going to go very far. So they're able to spread it around. Their defense, their offense, everything is working. For me, though, what I'm watching and paying attention to is we saw them destroy the Washington football team, who didn't really have most of their players, at least their key players in that game, because of COVID. That killer instinct that they had against Washington, are they going to be able to keep that? So really, consistency. That's what we need to see from Dallas, because we've seen two versions of them really throughout the year. Is this the real Dallas Cowboys team? That early September team that we saw, is that the real team? The mid-October team? consistency is going to be key for Dallas.
Yeah, and it makes you ask, Bart, who is this team? Because, look, Diana makes a great point. They beat up on the Washington football team, right. But who was playing for the Washington football team last week?
Well, they were fighting themselves, so they weren't fighting an opponent that was equipped to be able to put it on a good performance. They were undermanned, but when you talk about playing in the playoffs, you talk about anything can happen, and you have to bring all your outfits. You got to pack your defense. You got to bring your run game. You got to be consistent because we're just a couple of weeks removed from Amari Cooper saying what's going on with this offense, and he stressed his concerns. Now, it seems that they fixed their problem, but consider the opponent. That's why it's important for me to see them go against a team that can defend themselves, a team that can force this offense to play at a high level, and that can really test this defense and to see how they can be dominant. Can you be dominant against an outfit that can run the ball? Can you be dominant against an offense with a mobile quarterback? Because when you get into the playoffs, you're going against teams that are complete like you, all three phases. And when you're completed all three phases and you don't get those turnovers, you know, that's the bad thing when you depend on these turnovers. When you don't get them, how do you respond? Because it gets in your head, oh, we don't have any turnovers. You know, can we win? And can you shorten the field for your offense? And if you fall behind, it could be trouble.
So, Woody, what are you seeing in this team, and what do you need to see from them this weekend to prove that their issues are fixed?
Well, listen, I saw a team that was supremely confident out there against a Washington football team in all three phases. You know, Lewis touched upon it. You know, defensively, they got all three of their pass rushers in there, and they're just getting after the quarterback. It seems like on every third down, they're in the quarterback's grill. You know, in the game. Offensively, we saw Dak look comfortable. And that's the big thing with the Dallas Cowboys. Dak looked comfortable for the first time in a while. Zeke looked better. You know, he looked like he was more healthy. They're getting healthier up front. And we know when it comes to the playoffs, you win games in the trenches, man. That's the top teams that we're going to see coming down the stretch. They're elite in the trenches. And the Dallas Cowboys has, you know, as good as, you know, play in the trenches as any team in the National Football League. But I think more importantly for the Dallas Cowboys, playing against the Washington football team, yes, they were missing players. But this team traditionally has been a front-running team. And when you have a game like that, it builds confidence. And, Bart, you will remember something like this. Remember when, you know, Victor Cruz had that 99-yard catch, you know, with the New York Giants against the Jets, and they just propelled them to, you know, to move on from there. Sometimes confidence can do that to a football team. And I think, you know, that could be a case with the Dallas Cowboys against the Washington football team last week.
Great point.
So are you calling us the Washington football team? We were way better than Washington at that point, man.
I think so.
Let me pick his calves, Woody. Words hurt.
That's exactly what he's saying, Mark.
That's what he's saying.
I
were good at that point. We sucked after that.
Were you, though?
I think what Damian brings up, though, we don't like to talk about it because we like to talk about the fantasy football elements, the skill players, right. The receivers, the running backs in all these offenses. But when it comes down to in the playoffs, he's right. It's about the trenches. It's boring. It's dull. But we saw what happened with Kansas City last year when they didn't have an offensive line. Mm-hmm. They lost, and they're dependent on it. So that's going to be a big part of Dallas' success.
And again, Tyron Smith coming back for Dallas. Sneaky huge news right there. Now, let's talk about some other huge news. The Packers. They hold the all-important top seed in the NFC. Aaron Rodgers looks like he's playing for back-to-back MVPs at this point. Mm-hmm. Now, Rodgers yesterday commented on his future, and he even talked about the option of retirement after the season. Listen to this.
I wouldn't rule that out. I think that I'm just enjoying this season for this season, and I think there's playing next year will definitely be in the thought process. If this year has stopped me anything, it's that, you know, I still can play. I still have a love for the game. I'm still super competitive and still enjoy the process of the week. You know, there'll be a lot of things that'll weigh in the off season. Saying that doesn't mean, or any of the comments I've made doesn't mean I'm thinking about elsewhere. I do want to clarify that. So I'm just savoring this year, I think, as much as anything. And I don't want to, it won't be something where I'll drag it out for months and months.
It's that saying a lot without saying a lot. Diana, what have you heard from around the league about Rodgers' speech?
I feel like he's the expert at that at this point, right? He just says enough to make us all try to dissect it here. And look, I've covered a lot of Packers games this season. And down on the field, when I talk to players and coaches, especially during the pregame, trying to get a sense of, you know, what's going on? How's Aaron doing? You think he's going? You think he's staying? What's up? Is it going to be a Super Bowl or not in terms of his decision making? And the sense I always get is he's such a good teammate. He's so locked in. He's so happy. This is the best I've ever seen him. But when I talk to others around the league, outside the Packers organization, there are some people that think he's going to move on. that he's going to finish up in Green Bay and make a decision to force Green Bay to say, trade me. I don't want to be here anymore. There are some that believe he can retire, which, you know, Aaron Rodgers has talked about. I have a hard time believing that, too. But there's definitely those that think his time in Green Bay is over. And this isn't breaking news. We've talked about this on the show. We were here last season when we thought that this could happen. So, you know, the confidence, I think, around the league that Aaron is going to be there, you know, at the end of the day, nobody really knows.
Yeah. And you know what? Of all the things he said, and like I said, it was a lot of talk and not a lot of substance, but the one that he did say was he would be quick with his decision about his future, Bart. Well, are you buying what he said?
Well, that's important, right? Because I think he doesn't want to do Green Bay a disservice. He doesn't want to, you know, draw this thing out. But he loves himself too much not to be, you know, I'm surprised that I can still play. Like, really, dude, you was the MVP last year. So you drop off from MVP to, like, being bum salad. Like, stop it. And now you're going to get you another MVP. I think but just sometimes being in one place too long kind of wears thin. And I think a lot of his future depends on Devontae Adams. And if Devontae Adams wants a reunion with Derek Carr and going out to play with his friend that he trains with in the offseason, I think that's going to be key. Because if he leaves, I think he's going to say it's time for me to leave as well. So I don't think they're a package deal, but I think Devontae Adams has a love for Derek Carr. He wants a team of his own, college teammate, and they have plenty of money. They have to replace Henry Ruggs out there in Vegas.
You think he loves Derek Carr more than Aaron Rodgers?
It's not about that. It's about going and play with somebody. Like, I always wanted to play with my best friend. I tried to make it happen a couple of times. That's his best friend. It doesn't matter.
Lewis, go ahead, jump in.
You know what? Honestly, you know, I hate even having this conversation about where he's going to play next year, because right now we already know this. With Green Bay, their fortunes are so dependent upon him playing at the level that he's playing at right now for the rest of the year. We've seen what they look like when Jordan Love is in there. And that's not to be, you know, trying to be disrespectful to Jordan Love, but this football team is so dependent on him being there. And I think, honestly, it does a disservice to the kind of things that they're doing right now, which is they have the best record in the NFC. This is a football team that really has really struck a nice balance on the offensive side of the ball between run and pass to be able to really go ahead and play the type of game that maybe even like Dallas can play, right? If you really want to make a concerted effort to take Devontae Adams out of the game, we have a nice 1-2 punch in the run game. We have rolled all kinds of offensive linemen through here, and we still run the ball against you, and our defense is continuing to get better. I think this takes away from the fact that this football team, the worst thing that could happen is for this team to get into the playoffs and be a one-and-done type team, because for some reason it gets distracted. For some reason it's not dialed in like it has been over the past couple of weeks. That's why, honestly, like, I don't care what Aaron does after the season's over. I really don't. Retire? Go ahead. Play at the Packers? Go ahead. You want to go somewhere else? Who cares? Just win this year, especially if you lock up the number one seed. Don't have a team from the South come in there and knock you upside of the head and knock you out of the, you know, out of the Super Bowl because you guys, for some reason, were distracted in any way, shape, or form by this circus that's surrounding or that's going to surround him. Just see this thing out, because I think right now they're in a nice, nice position to see it out.
Wait, I want to go to Woody real quick, because you make a great point, Lewis. The distraction aspect of it. You're going for the gold here, and I wonder how that ends up playing on the team. Woody, what do you think about these comments?
Well, we all know that Aaron Rodgers loves to hear himself talk. He's been doing a lot of that lately, you know, obviously with our friend Pat McAfee, his Pat McAfee show. But, you know, listen, I agree with Lewis, man. Look, why not be locked in? You know, I just don't understand all the, you know, all the comments like that. And if I'm a player, I don't want to be talking, you know, talking about Aaron Rodgers and speculating whether he's going to, you know, be in Green Bay after this year and all that. Like, focus on the here and now. They got a prime opportunity to go out there and win a chip, and maybe that's not the case, but last thing I need is a whole bunch of comments talking about the future. You know, and most veterans, we're just focused on the here and now, locking up the number one seed and trying to finish off something we couldn't do last year.
I had a very conservative-minded GM say to me yesterday, talking about the Aaron Rodgers situation, that he's been impressed with the fact that Aaron has been able to basically answer the questions from Pat McAfee on every topic on the planet and then still go out there on Sunday. So I hear what Lou is saying about the distraction, and I think we can all say in most situations we would be crushing a player going on a podcast or going on a TV show talking about anything outside of being focused on the game. But Aaron Rodgers has proven he can handle conversations, distractions, and going out there and being what I think is the best quarterback in football right now. Who is the best quarterback in football?
Well, yeah, he's in a different place. We know how people are when they get old, man. They become honest and truthful, and they answer anything. And Aaron Rodgers at this point is just the old man in the room. He's sophisticated enough to be able to do both.
I'm going to say whatever I think because I'm winning MVP.
Exactly.
Well, coming up, if Stetson Bennett plays tomorrow like he played against Alabama in the SEC championship game, it's going to be a long semifinal for Georgia. Are the Dogs making the right choice at quarterback? Talk about next coming up. And good news for Ravens fans is Lamar Jackson was on the practice field yesterday. The bad news came when they watched the video. How effective can he be against the Rams? We'll talk about it when we come back. You're watching Get Up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is presented by DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, and in part by the Book of Boba Fett, now streaming on Disney Plus. Well, over to college football, and Georgia and Michigan battle tomorrow night with a spot in the national championship on the line. Now, after struggling in Georgia's loss against Alabama, the Bulldogs have decided to stick with Stetson Bennett as their QB1. Now, Stetson Bennett has been the primary starter, going 9-1 in 2021. However, his performance against Alabama, I mean, less than stellar is being kind. Bennett threw 2 interceptions against Bama. He threw 3 in his other starts previously in 2021. And yesterday, Georgia head coach Kirby Smart had this to say about the decision.
Stetson's our starting quarterback. So, again, the JT situation will be a matter of, you know, is the situation right? And also, is he healthy enough?
That's the key. Is he healthy enough? Now, David Pollack gets up with us from the Orange Bowl for more on this matchup. And look, Pollack, this is the issue that's on everybody's mind in Georgia. Is Georgia making the right decision with Stetson Bennett over JT Daniels?
You know, this is the topic of conversation because Stetson Bennett's a walk-on. That's why we have this conversation, because you just put up those numbers, 20-3, touchdown to interception ratio with the number one team in the country, beating everybody up, but we create a quarterback controversy because he's not the most highly recruited kid, and the other kids highly recruited. JT Daniels, one of the most highly recruited kids in the country coming out of high school. So, no, I mean, he brought you here. He got you to this point. He's played great football. He's played. He's taken great shots down the field all throughout the season. But can he make those mistakes against Alabama again? Absolutely not. But if you didn't see Stetson Bennett get pulled after his second INT against Alabama in the SEC championship game, I don't think you're going to see him get pulled coming up unless he plays really horrible early, just like everybody else. Like, remember the national championship. Jalen Hurts got benched. Tua Tagovailoa comes in and saves the day for Alabama. So you play really bad, sometimes you get benched. But this narrative is just interesting for a guy that had 20 TDs, 3 INTs throughout the season and was the number one team in the country, but had a bad game.
Okay, so finish this sentence for us in terms of talking about the game. Michigan wins if...
Michigan wins if they stop Georgia's run game. Like, Georgia's run game with two tight ends, that's what they do. They're not a spread them out, throw it all over the yard kind of a team. That's not what they've been throughout the season. Michigan has actually struggled some against two tight end sets against Michigan State. Kenneth Walker had some success. That's what this team, Georgia's built on, the run game and the play action shots. If you let the best 1-2 punch at defensive end in college football with Ajabo and Hutchinson getting passing situations, it's going to be a great thing for Michigan because nobody can block those two guys. You saw it against Ohio State. So they got to stuff that ground game for Georgia because the play action off of it, the third down situations that they get in, they will win with Hutchinson and Ajabo.
Oh, this is going to be a battle. You just outlined it right there. I think of both games, this is going to be the one to watch, the really close one. David Pollack, live from the Orange Bowl. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it, brother.
All right, well, coming up, getting back to the NFL. And let's talk Bengals Chiefs, shall we, when it comes to supporting cast. Who has the better one between the two? We'll talk about that when we come back. Welcome back to Get Up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
You're watching Get Up, presented by DraftKings. Now let's go back to the NFL, shall we, with Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Yesterday, their superstar quarterback returned to the practice field, but look at how he returned. You see that? That pronounced limp? Here's what John Harbaugh had to say about his quarterback.
I'm really hopeful. I mean, I told you, like I said last week, I'm hopeful for all of our quarterbacks. Of course, you know, starting with Lamar, he's a starting quarterback. He's our guy, and I really want to see him out there on Sunday. I know the fans do. I know most of all Lamar does. So he's going to do everything he can to be out there. And, you know, you can't make a promise because we don't know. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring.
Wow. That kind of limp with a must-win game coming up this weekend against the Rams. Diana, what's the latest in Baltimore surrounding Lamar?
I think limp is being really nice. Ooh. I mean, if you saw him on the field in that video, it was very clear he is struggling. It's Thursday already. They're facing, you know, Aaron Donald and this Rams defense with a limp like that. That's a big issue for the Baltimore Ravens. I know John Harbaugh says that he's hopeful. Yeah, he's hopeful. He wants Lamar Jackson there. But here we are late in the season, guys, and we've already seen that Tyler Huntley can run this offense. In fact, he does a really good job. He's got fresher legs. Take the injury out of the picture here. He's been on the bench most of this season here. So if he's able to go, he gives the Ravens just as good of a chance as Lamar Jackson would if he was 100% healthy.
Yeah, really? As he would if he was 100% healthy?
At this point in the season, yeah. He's had rest, right? Lamar Jackson relies almost solely on his legs. 90% of his ability is his mobility.
Right.
And, you know, Tyler Huntley's legs are just a little fresher, and he's done a really good job. Ask the Green Bay Packers.
Maybe a lot fresher when you look at that video. Damian Woody, I wonder if the Ravens, you think, have a shot to beat the Rams at all, whether Lamar can play or not.
Ryan, I think it's going to be really tough. You know, we talk about momentum. Well, guess what? Rams have that. They've been playing some really good football, and I know Matthew Stafford is prone to having those type of plays that you know head scratchers. But when I think of the Rams, I think physicality on both sides of the line of scrimmage, this team is more physical now than they were in the earlier part of the season. I think of the pass rush. I think of Cooper Kupp, who's having a historic season at the wide receiver position. Odell Beckham Jr. has come over and played really well. Van Jefferson, they got a ton of playmakers on both sides of the ball. And you talk about the Baltimore Ravens, particularly in the defensive secondary, where they're just, they're literally down to like practice squad guys in the secondary. So I think it's just going to be really tough, whether it's Lamar Jackson or Tyler Huntley, to get a victory against this Los Angeles Rams team.
Yeah, Lewis, here's what I'm thinking of when I look at this. And by the way, I'm glad we have Tyler Huntley's stats there on the bottom. So take a look at those. Look at those stats. Those stats are great. And I'm not saying Huntley is a way better quarterback or anything like that, but you are looking at a Ravens team, Lewis, that needs Lamar Jackson to be at his best to go anywhere in the playoffs. I think we all kind of feel that way in a way. So why risk it? Or do you think they should risk it by even thinking about having him play this weekend's games, even though the stakes are very high?
Look, you're talking about one of the most dynamic players at that position that we've seen in the past 20 years. Okay, so look, as much as we all love the Tyler Huntley story, and as well as he has played given the circumstances, if Lamar Jackson can play, you got to play him. You just do, because of everything that he brings to the football field, running and throwing, and just from a leadership and intangible perspective, and how he affects everyone else from a confidence standpoint. And look, everything is just not a data point. Some things are things that you can't touch, you can't measure. And Lamar's presence is one of those things that you just can't measure in terms of what effect it has on the rest of the team and not just the offense. Okay, so, because remember this too. This isn't just about, well, if Tyler Huntley plays, does he give the Ravens a better chance to win? Well, Tyler Huntley is not covering anybody. That's for sure. Tyler Huntley is not tackling anybody on the defensive side. Tyler Huntley is not making any checks, not trying to calm down a secondary right now that is prone to giving up big plays over and over and over again. So I think, although the discussion surrounding him is a valid one, really what ails this football team is the fact that this defense cannot stop anyone. And the Rams, in no way, shape, or form, should lose this football game. Now, we know anything is possible in the NFL. We've seen that every week. We've seen teams lose that aren't supposed to lose. Let's just look at the Chargers and the Texans last week. But the Rams, there is no question they have no business losing this football game. And if they do, wow. Mm. They should win this game.
Mm. Yeah, yep. It'll tell you a lot about a team that's looking to get the top seed or at least be in the conversation for getting to the Super Bowl.
I think it's interesting because Lewis is right in terms of what Lamar Jackson brings to this team. We've seen it every single week. I see it when Lamar's not even on the field, the impact he has on that sideline. But when you think about this offense as a whole, with mobility being the most important factor, him having a limp like that, it in terms of actually doing the job at the quarterback position, it just makes it that much harder. So you have to wonder if they're looking at this as if Lamar Jackson is just, let's say, I hate to say it like a percentage limit, but like, let's say he's just 70% healthy and Tyler Huntley is 100%. That's got to be a really difficult challenge for them to say who gives us the better shot, knowing all the things that Lamar Jackson brings.
Yeah, this is a great conversation. We're going to try to pick it up again in the next hour. But I want to get to this, guys, because we're talking about quarterbacks. We got more on quarterbacks, including two of the best going at it in Week 17, Red Hot Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes facing division-leading Bengals and Joe Burrow. Burrow, of course, had a record-setting day this past Sunday against the Ravens. Now here he is talking about facing Patrick Mahomes.
They've been one of the best offenses in the league for, since he's been the starting quarterback. So, we're going in expecting to have to score a lot of points and we'll adapt accordingly. A bigger opportunity, whether it's the Chiefs or whoever they throw out there against us, we got an opportunity to go out there and win our division and make the playoffs.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about these two quarterbacks, guys. And, Lewis, I'll start with you. A couple weeks ago, we were comparing Patrick Mahomes to Justin Herbert, saying, hey, is this gap closer than we think it is? Are they really comparable players at this point? Mm-hmm. I feel like that discussion has kind of gone away at this point. But now I have to ask you the same thing about Joe Burrow. Is the gap between Burrow and Mahomes closer than we realize?
Yeah, I think it is. I think the gap between all of these young guns is really close right now. Although, look, Patrick does things in a way that we haven't seen maybe ever done before. And the standard that he has set is so high that we think that no one is ever close to him or no one can ever come close to him. But look, Joe Burrow has an effect on his football team, both from a performance standpoint, an execution standpoint, and from a leadership standpoint that cannot be discounted. It just cannot be discounted. Just think back now to when he was drafted the first pick overall by the Cincinnati Bengals franchise, and many people thought he wouldn't even want to play there. And he stood steadfast and said, no,
this is where I'm going to play. I'm an Ohio guy. And he basically took on the challenge of saying, I'm going to put this entire organization on my back. You know, this is before we even get to the stats and before we even get to the surrounding cast and the supporting cast that he has right now and the performance that he has had with those guys, which you cannot poke any holes in. You cannot. It's his leadership. It's his resolve, his resiliency, his toughness, the ability to raise everyone else's level, this whole organization's level, this whole city's level. Joe Burrow has done that on his own, and he took on this challenge, which I think is something that you have to weigh when you're talking about how all these young quarterbacks stack up against one another. What he's doing right now is it's fascinating, and I think this game is going to be fascinating because of the fact that this kid is such a great young, dynamic leader.
It's a great point. He has changed the way we look at the Bengals. I mean, I have to be honest, when I think about the AFC, I discount the Bengals a little bit because of their history. But you look at what Joe Burrow has done recently, and he's changing the way people think about this team. And Damian Woody, you know, the other part of this is, when I look at Kansas City skill players, you got an all-pro at receiver, you got an all-pro at tight end, you got Patrick Mahomes. But is there an argument to say that Cincinnati's skill players might be even better?
To me, there's no argument. The Bengals' skill position is better than the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, listen, you got a quarterback that's thrown for over 4,000 yards. You got two 1,000-yard receivers. And you got a running back that's over 1,000 yards. And we haven't even, you know, like, we haven't even talked about Tyler Boyd. Tyler Boyd could go to a lot of teams and probably be their number one. So, like, when you look at the collective of the skill position players with the Cincinnati Bengals, they're going to give a lot of teams hell. They're going to give the Kansas City Chiefs defense hell. And I think, but I think ultimately it's going to come down to which team can get after the quarterback better, which he normally does, especially this time of year.
Yeah.
What I hear too, guys, when we're having this conversation, the fact that we're even making comparisons about the greatness already in these young players in Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow is how exciting is this for the NFL for the next 15 years? Let's throw Herbert back, Justin Herbert back in there. Also, let's throw Josh Allen in there as well. And I think when we are watching Joe Burrow, what I think impresses all of us, not just his leadership and his ability, the swag. This is a guy who went number one overall, and he acts like every single team passed on him. He actually has a chip on his shoulder. How do you have a chip on your shoulder when you go number one overall and you're able to go out there and play at the level he's been able to play at? But Damian, I'm doing this for you. This is my love for you. I think when we talk about the difference between Kansas City and we talk about the Bengals in terms of the matchup overall, top to bottom, I do think the Chiefs have the edge because of that offensive line. Again, going back to what you said, who's going to win in the trenches? And I think the Chiefs edge them out here.
Interesting. She's using your words against you, Woody.
No, she's not using my words against me because the question was who had the better skill position.
It is
okay,
true.
Okay, I said the Bengals, but I said, but
tell them, Woody.
It's going to come down who can protect their quarterback better. And we know that Joe Burrow's taking a lot of sacks this year. He's played great, but he's taking a lot of sacks.
It is true. It is true. All right, you guys, from the NFL to the college game. And boy, let me tell you, after a dominant regular season, which led to a second place finish in the Heisman voting for Aiden Hutchinson, the Michigan defensive end is the top player in Mel Kiper Jr.'s big board. However, he won't be the only first-round caliber NFL talent on the field tomorrow night, because along with Hutchinson on Kiper's big board is another Wolverine defensive end, David Ojabo. Mel has him ranked 9th, and then Georgia linebacker N'Kobe Dean ranks 12th overall. So David Pollack's back with us now to talk about this game and the talent in it. Now, David, the game features 3 of the top 12 prospects in this year's NFL draft. What are you seeing in terms of comparisons made for these players, starting with the top player on Mel Kiper Jr.'s big board, Aiden Hutchinson?
Ryan, this is always cool, and this is something we always do, is you always look at somebody, and after you've been doing this for so many years, you're like, all right, I see so-and-so when I look at him. And Aiden Hutchinson has been an absolute animal. I mean, he's been unbelievable. And I think he compares favorably to a guy like Chris Long. You saw him for a number of years in the NFL. Quick first step. Got good range, good height. Aiden Hutchinson obviously got good power. Both of them play with a really, really high motor. So he's got a lot of Chris Long in him when I watch Aiden Hutchinson.
All right, how about Michigan's other defensive star, David Ojabo?
You know, Michigan finds these guys. It's kind of crazy. We've seen them over the years with they find guys that just need to be developed, like Quiddy Pay that's taking some time. Rashawn Gary, just really freaky Friday athletes. This guy is huge, 6'5". You can see gets off the ball so daggum fast. Reminds me of Josh Allen, not the quarterback. Josh Allen from Kentucky when you saw him coming out with a big, tall frame, elite first step. Still needed to work on his hands and develop. But you saw the closing speed, you saw the athleticism, you saw the ability to play the football the way it's supposed to be played. So he's got a lot of Josh Allen in me too.
Yeah, you're talking about the Josh Allen who got after Josh Allen earlier this year. Now going to Georgia's defense now, what comparison can be made for N'Kobe Dean?
Man, Georgia had another elite run back in the day to a national championship game when they played Alabama. Remember, they Rose Bowl versus Baker Mayfield and company with Oklahoma. And the guy that was on that defense was Roquan Smith, the guy that, again, wasn't the biggest guy, wasn't necessarily the fastest, but you saw the dude played all over the field, played faster than he was, great instincts, great football player. N'Kobe Dean, great in coverage. Super high IQ, you can tell. Great blitzer that can get after the quarterback and rush the passer. So N'Kobe Dean's got a lot of Roquan Smith in him from the same college.
Oh, if he plays like that, if he can get to that talent level in the NFL, man, will he have quite a career. David Pollack from the Orange Bowl, can't wait for the game coming up. Great to see you. All right, it all comes down to this. Like we talked about, the college football playoff semifinal tomorrow on ESPN and the ESPN app. Heisman winner Bryce Young and number one Alabama taking on number four Cincinnati in the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic at 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific. Then number two Michigan and number three Georgia in the Capital One Orange Bowl. The winners will play for the national championship Monday, January 10th on ESPN. Okay, 2 weeks ago, the Patriots were the top seed in the AFC and we all loved them. Now their playoff picture is hazy. Time for panic in the land of the Pats? We'll have answers ahead.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Get Up, presented by DraftKings.
Call the non-believers.
How did that?
Call the non-believers.
I can't wait till the day I make it. I can't wait.
We're a good football team. They can't stop a nosebleed.
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
No, I can't wait.
He gets fired up when he watches himself do that.
I just laugh at Rex. I don't know if he had a torn MCL, ACL, but I tell you what, he got down a sweater vest. Underrated.
That's right. It is. It's underrated. The words that made Bart Scott a Jets legend. Let's get the three things Bart can't wait for. Heading into week 17, starting with Cardinals Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys? Listen, I'm not a true believer yet into that defense, but I will become more of a believer if they can stop down the baby Mandalorian, baby Yoda himself, Kyler Murray, because he's going to give this defense problems because of his mobility. I know they don't have DeAndre Hopkins, but Zach Ertz is coming alive within this offense. I will believe. You see that guy right there? Reminds me of a guy named Delta O'Neal. He give up and he take him away because he'll jump everything.
Oh, boy. Harsh words for the interception leader in the NFL. All right, Rams, Ravens.
Yeah, y'all put me up out of the segment when y'all was talking about the Ravens, but I'm back now, baby, because this is my segment. I'm directing this one. Can Lamar Jackson come out of the tunnel like Willis Reed? Give him the shot. Take him to the back and make him understand. I tell you what, weird things happen in that stadium, and all they have to do is win one, because I think that Cincinnati loses going out. And I think the Ravens have an opportunity to get in. And if they get in, they're always dangerous because Action Jackson. Give them the shot!
Ooh, how about Titans, Dolphins?
Oh, this is it. Listen, I think that the luck stops here for Tua Tagovailoa. I think it's been great what he's been able to do. But he's been doing this with all smoke and mirrors. RPOs, I mean, death by a thousand paper cuts. I mean, that's the longest pass I've seen him throw in 2 years. I think we talk about, you know, the Tennessee defense. They're going to take the air away. They're going to press him at the line of scrimmage, not give him those easy throws. And he's fighting two things. He's fighting to try and get in the postseason, but he's fighting to keep the Deshaun Watson from taking his spot. Mm. And now Sierra's husband. Yeah, I said his husband because she's more famous than he is. Sierra might be wanting to come down to South Beach because she's tired of singing at the fish market in Seattle.
Sorry, that just threw me. Okay.
Keeping it risen, you know what I'm saying?
He is. He always does. I'll tell you what. And two, of course, playing for his job down there, it seems like every single week. Now, speaking about quarterbacks and teams that are trying to make the playoffs, let's move on to the Patriots, who held the number one seed in the AFC 2 weeks ago. But since then, they've lost two straight. They now sit at number six in the conference, if you can believe it. So yesterday we asked Rob Ninkovich if he was concerned about his former team, and I want to bring everybody back in because he said, look, I'm concerned about their ability for on the defensive side to stop the run. And Damian Woody, that's why I wanted to bring you in on this one. What's your concern level with these Patriots right now?
Yeah, I mean, he has an absolute point there. You know, the Patriots, even when they were winning, when a lot of people like myself were talking about the Patriots in high regard, that was the one area of concern was their run defense. And what we've seen is they haven't been able to resolve that issue. And when you're talking about late in the season and postseason, if you can't stop the opposing team from running the football, that's the recipe for early exit in the postseason. So I think Rob brings up a great point. And then another thing is, you know, Mac Jones has played, you know, great, you know, some really good football. But I think as of late, we've seen him kind of hit a little bit of a rookie wall. But, man, when you're matched up against some of these quarterbacks that we mentioned earlier, the Josh Allen, the Joe Burrow, the Patrick Mahomes, he can't match up with those guys right now. And so when you combine the two, you know, for me, looking at the Patriots, they don't match up with the other teams in the AFC.
Interesting. Lewis, how do you feel about the Patriots right now? What's your concern level with them?
No, it's legitimate. It's legitimate because, look, I think they have the manpower on the defensive side in particular in the front seven to handle the run game. They do. The run game is about fits, gap control, getting off blocks, and then tackling and getting people on the ground. And we saw that against the Indianapolis Colts in particular when Jonathan Taylor made that long run that basically iced the game for them. We saw they had him hemmed in. They had him viced, and they still let him out the gate. And once you let him out the gate, it's over. So this is really, it's more an execution thing on the defensive side than it is a manpower thing. I think they can get it done. They are just going to need to do a much better job. And I can promise you this, practice must have been hell for these guys this coming week as far as the run is concerned, as far as the defense, the run defense is concerned in the 9-on-7 drill, which we all know a run-focused drill that every team practices. I'll bet you that thing was darn near full speed to the ground this week. Now, offensively, I also agree. Meaning this, Mac Jones has to take his game to another level. And everyone else around him has to take their game to another level. And that is a little bit of a concern because when you're going up against the heavyweights in the AFC, as far as quarterbacks, as far as skill position players and the way they can score points, I just don't know if they have enough personnel on the perimeter to get that done. But look, New England has always lived by the mantra of it being a complimentary football game, a three-phase operation that has to all work together, and that's how we win. Well, Bill's going to have to be at his very best. This team's going to have to be at its very best if they have hopes of ultimately getting to the big dance, which is where they're accustomed to being.
Yeah. When Bill Belichick is talking about their struggle on third down in the press conference as a coach who talks about nothing and gives you nothing, that's when you know it's an issue. That's when you know it's weighing on him. So, you know, Lou's talking about what practice was like this week. You know, that was something that they were certainly working on. You talked before about Cincinnati's history, and right. You said that it's hard to believe in them because of their history. I think we do the opposite with New England because of their history. They got high, and we got high. And we all went in and jumped on this New England. Oh, my gosh, can we see a Super Bowl? Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, here we go.
Don't put that
but
on me,
the reality Bobby. Is, Lewis pointed out, their run defense has struggled, and they have a rookie quarterback in Mac Jones who we have not seen be able to throw the ball well. The conditions in Buffalo really helped this New England Patriots team when we started to all jump on the ship of this is going to be the team that's going to go far. You give, you know, a better situation for them, they're going to be able to be – the Bills are going to be able to beat the Patriots three times if they see each other again.
I'm consistent about what I see. I don't follow trends. I don't follow what everybody else says. And I'm one of the people that said, hey, two teams won't make the postseason. I said the Browns wouldn't make the postseason week one, and I said the Patriots wouldn't. And I would have been right if the perfect storm didn't happen.
Yeah, they caught they didn't teams at the right time.
If they didn't have to play Tennessee when they didn't have anybody, they didn't play Cleveland without Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
Yep.
So I knew what I was saying because I saw this team go against the Jets early in the season, give up a bunch of yards rushing, right? So listen, I'm on the very me and Damon Woody are two. Listen, me and Damon Woody are two people. Me and Damon Woody are two people on this show
that
has taken young rookie quarterbacks like Mac Jones to the AFC Championship. And you can't have good defense. You have to have great defense. And when I see that, they can't make teams be one-dimensional. You know, I think if they're going to turn this thing around, they're going to have to start blitzing a lot more. They're going to have to lean on their best player, J.C. Jackson, to be an island. And it's not. There's a very few people that's had islands, but if I've had one, and that's the only way you can improve that defense is by being able to attack and run blitz early on down, saying that, hey, if it's a play action, he's going to lock him down.
I'm going to see if we can come back to this discussion because I see Lewis chomping at the bit. Your face is saying it all, my friend.
I got receipts.
All right, but first, I want to tell you about this. The Cowboys have won four straight. Locked up a division title. So why are there so many questions about how good they actually are? We know you'll find out next.